What's going on, world? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. I'm your host, Brother Malcolm. And again, I count it a pleasure, a joy unspeakable to be with you another week. I'm so blessed and I hope that you are too. Just want to check in and make sure everybody is checking in with us on social media. Check out Black Is Magazine on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Black Is Magazine. And we just want to make sure that folks are checking in with us. So if you enjoy what you're hearing, please leave us a comment, share the article, share the podcast, and let us know if there are things that you want to hear, subjects that you want to talk about. I'm open. We're just trying to see what our audiences are interested in. And if you like what we're doing and if you want to hear more, say that too. I can also be reached on Twitter at Callie Yaley. And that's it for that service announcement. So this week we're going to recap the awesome, awesome Festival of International Theater that just happened in Los Angeles called Radar LA. Radar LA, I was an associate producer on the festival and had really the time of my life participating and working with artists from around the world, specifically those in the Pacific Rim and Latin America. I had the opportunity to work on really two special pieces that I was directly connected with. One was called Sometimes I Think I Can See You, and the other was called You Should Have Stayed Home, Morons. Sometimes I Think I Can See You is a piece that is brilliantly was constructed and conceived by Argentinian director and sort of artistic genius guru, Mariano Pinsotti. And the piece is about public interaction with art. And what he did was we set up shop in Grand Central Market. And every day we had four writers who were stationed in a particular part of the Grand Central Market. And they would just observe their surroundings and they would begin to tell a story about that surrounding. So imagine somebody was writing about me right now. They would say, a black man sits near a microphone and does his weekly podcast. I wonder what he's thinking. He's probably thinking about the lady next to him, looking all fine, cute, motherly. Just kidding. But that's the gist of the whole thing, is that there were writers strategically placed all around this market who were writing about their surroundings. We had writers writing in Spanish, all parts of Los Angeles writing a wonderful, wonderful a diverse cross-section of the city, just telling stories. And there were some amazing outcomes because of it. We had people who were asking, could they tip the writers? We had people who would stay for 3 hours watching the writers' words on the walls as they ate their meals or they licked their ice cream or drank their coffee. So it was a really, really special moment. And we did it with about 11 writers from the Los Angeles area, and it was amazing. And the best part of the whole thing was that it was free. And I was very proud of that moment and very proud of creating that. And I'm hoping we can recreate it in different parts of Los Angeles. But, you know, check out, you know, the website on Radar LA. We're hoping to possibly do it in different parts of Los Angeles. So be on the lookout if you're in Los Angeles. And if you are interested more in the project, look up Mariano Pinsotti. Sometimes I Think I Can See You. The other piece was called You Should Have Stayed Home, Morons. It was originally done in Spanish in Bogota, Colombia. And we had an opportunity to bring the director out here to do this site-specific piece in different parts of downtown Los Angeles. The piece started off in a park, and it started with a woman who was talking about, who was basically riffing on a monologue about living in a society where you don't think with your own head. She basically went on for about 20 minutes just saying, what if we lived our lives using our own heads and not someone else's head? But most of us, we live our lives and make our decisions with someone else's head. The next part of the piece, we walked through downtown and we ended up in a bar where you could order a beer or a drink. And all of a sudden, a woman comes up from her slumber and just starts talking about her life and the sadness of her life and her relationship with her father. And it was so poignant because so many people in the bar actually stopped what they were doing, stopped watching the football game, whatever they were doing, and they started listening to her. Some were agitated by her. And it was just great to see theater breaking the walls of traditional theater venues and really being a part of the community that it exists in. And one of the things I kept saying to myself is, wow, this is truly art imitating life, because these were actors and artists working in a format that is not really traditional when you talk about stepping out of those four walls of the theater. So after the bar, we walked to this apartment, and it was really cool because you walk into this loft downtown, and the downtown scene in LA, like every scene in America, is gentrifying. And so you have these lofts that used to be these, you know, turn of the century, mid-century businesses, and they're now lofts that are live workspaces. And we walk into this apartment, the windows are all up, and you hear this homeless man yelling. And obviously, because we've been on this tour, walking tour of this piece, we realized that homeless man was actually in the play. But many of the people on the street had no idea who this guy was, so he was getting yelled at. We had businesses asking us to stop the program, to stop the play. You had people who were in agreement with him and everything he was saying. And it was just great to see people either ignore, walk, or engage with the art. Some people looked at him as if he was just a crazy man talking out of his mind. Some people were like, he's really has something to say. And I think that's the point of the piece, is that you never know who you're passing and what they have to contribute to society. And almost reminding us to take note. Very heightened moment. He was yelling, and it went on for about 10 to 12 minutes. Actually, it may have gone on for 15, 20. And then in the middle of this man's monologue, a man comes out from the back of the loft and he starts shutting all the windows that the audience has been looking at the performance piece through. And he's telling everybody, you know, everyone is basically told to sit down in the living room space. And he begins his monologue. And we forget that there is a young boy in there sitting down who's been reading a book. And he begins saying this monologue to his son, basically telling him he needs to work till when he's 15, and then when he's 15, he needs to retire. He talks about how from the age of, you know, adolescence to 40, we have all of the energy, but we don't have any of the brains. And when we get to 40 and up, we have all of the brains, but none of the energy. And so he was encouraging his son to work really hard while he was young, and then to just let it go. And not that that's the literal expectation, but this idea of when you are younger and when you have the vitality, what are you using that time for in your life? And it was great because at the end of it, he tells his son, so tomorrow you're not going to school, you're going to go to work, and that's the end of it. He goes back to go fall asleep. The young kid looks at everybody, looks at his dad, picks up his backpack, he's about to walk out the door, turns around to everybody who's sitting in the living room, and he says, you should have stayed home, morons, and shuts the door. And that's the end of the play. And so it was really fun and cool because that's the title of the play, and it's the last line of the play. And you just realize that, you know, on one hand, one could say, oh, if you didn't like what you were hearing, you could have stayed home. But the idea that what are we doing with our lives? What are we actually doing with our lives? So those were two of the pieces that were really profound. And then there were two other pieces that really stuck out from, well, three actually. And I would encourage you to just look up these artists because they're extremely talented and they have a genius quality to their work. One was David Rousseff's Stardust. It was a world premiere, a piece about the Twitter generation and a gay youth who, by the end of the piece, is attacked and killed, but realizes he calls the internet his God because no one else will listen to him, and all of his cries out to God have gone unanswered as far as he is concerned. And really, really beautifully constructed and just tragic. But this idea of this internet generation not having someone to connect to but the internet, and what does that mean? There was also another piece called Shunkin at the UCLA's Fruit Playhouse, which was stunning, stunning, stunning. And finally, from New Zealand, Mao, the company Mao, directed by Lemmy Bonifacio, this brilliant piece with 10 Maori women who, all I can describe the piece as, feminine existentialism, one of the most powerful pieces of theater, dance I've ever seen. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to put up some links for you all that will link you to these artists and the wrap-up of the festival. And I hope that you will expand your minds and your cultural outings, and get out next time when you're in your theater, when you're in your community, and check out something that's avant-garde, something that's contemporary, something that's ensemble-based, something that's site-specific, something that is solo work, anything that's not necessarily your traditional piece of theater, like musical or a straight play. I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, I want to encourage you, if you were liking what you heard and you're feeling this, please tell a friend, please share, please like us on Facebook, facebook.com/blackisMagazine. I can be found on Twitter, Callie Yaley. And thank you so much for joining us. And remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And on that note, I wish you all a wonderful week. Peace.